And good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live this hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY The Voice, coming to you out of the Common Workspace Studios this morning. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, heading towards, in October, believe this or not, guys, 4 years on the air. I cannot believe it's been 4 years. I looked up yesterday and said to someone, I've been doing this radio thing since October, almost 4 years ago, and October is a matter of days away. So time flies when you're having fun. We have fun on the air. Here in just a moment, Pastor Jeff Loxton is our faith and culture contributor on the program. He'll be on with us for a few moments today. A few words from me after the bottom of the hour, pairing a couple of stories together. My growing thoughts on how we manage a COVID-19 pandemic to endemic transition that is not disappearing anytime soon. Some interesting stories that I want to put together and give you my thoughts. We can, of course, take your phone calls throughout the hour. Wrapping us up is Ruben Navarrete, the most widely read Latino columnist in the country. You've seen him in Washington Post, USA Today, Daily Beast. You've seen him on CNN, on Fox News. He'll be with us to cap the hour. We're going to talk immigration today, immigration in Congress, immigration along the border. It has been a full news week of immigration stories. He is going to give us his take on what it all means. Let's jump in. 790-2040 is the call-in number. It's not the number that Pastor Jeff used to call in because he didn't use a number. He's with us live in studio.
Live and in studio.
In person, in the flesh, Pastor Jeff Loxton, pastor of Hope City Church on the 22nd Street Corridor right here in our beautiful city of Tucson, Arizona. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Zach.
As always. So we've been doing this faith and culture segment for a bit now, trying to make sense of a world that just when you think it can't get more weird, more senseless, it does. Wisdom for weird times. We've looked to you for your insights the last couple years, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah.
Try to take a 30,000-foot look for a few moments throughout the month and try to make sense of what's going on. So let's jump right in. Pastor Jeff Loxton, what do you have for us today? What's caught your eye out there in this world of faith plus culture?
Yeah, I know we get the chance to talk during the week and look at different things that are going on around in the culture around us. I think one that's been trending here recently in the news, I believe it's the New York Times, is self-awareness, a mirage. And this idea of the way understanding who we are relates or helps us better relate to the world around us. So, you know, as I think about that, there's a scripture that informs my thought for those that come from a faith background. And it says that it's difficult for a person to understand what's going on in their own life. But and this is my paraphrase, but a person of wisdom is able to draw out those circumstances. And so that might be advocating counseling. You know, I come from a background where I think God is a great counselor as well, the best counselor, if you will. But how do we, whether you come from a faith background or not, how do you make sense of who you are and why you do what you do in a way that enables you to thrive in the environment that you're in?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. There was a the piece I think you mentioned on it, that's the actual title, is Self-Awareness, a Mirage. It ends this way, and I jumped right to the end.
Sure.
Maybe the dignity in being human is not being Achilles, the bold, thoughtless actor. Maybe mm-hmm. the great human accomplishment is being Homer, mm-hmm. the wise storyteller. Both those names take me back to middle school, but that's another story. In telling ever more accurate stories about ourselves, we send different beliefs, values, and expectations down into the complex nether reaches of our minds, and in ways we may never understand, that leads to better desires, better decision-making, and more gracious living. What about this piece, you know, made you text and say we should talk about this today?
Well, I think one of the comments that was made was, unless you want to embrace this idea of storytelling, you know, it's not necessarily something that people are doing as much anymore, introspection. I think there was the idea that was broached, extrospection. understanding what's going on around you. But within the commentary was this idea that we have these root behaviors, these things that drive us, these motivations, that unless we understand them through whatever counseling or means one chooses to embrace, it's going to be difficult to truly see the kinds of changes that we might want to see. And in a world that is seemingly gone awry and things that are frustrating people all the more, how do we look within ourselves to say, what is the best part of us that's embracing these challenges that we're facing? And how do we look at that differently? I guess to maybe word it another way, I was talking to a parent that was saying, I used to spank my kid all the time, and then I realized that spanking wasn't really getting the best out of them or me. So I found out that they don't like it when I take their bike away, and all of a sudden progress began to happen. But how do we do that differently with the circumstances that we're in, understanding the root behaviors that we deal with?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if we'll get to it today. We might, but there was another piece that caught both of our eyes in the news recently, and it's an opinion piece, when politics isn't about principle. Mm-hmm. And I often say when we sit down on the air, a Jewish philosopher said that a healthy political life, a healthy community life, a healthy life amidst all this stuff that we bat around in our day-to-day life, requires reference points outside of itself. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here. But the piece was, when politics isn't about principle. And on this show, even if we're not talking about the individual for a minute, but even the community, the corporate, there is a dramatic lack of self-awareness, mm-hmm. in our politics, in our political parties, mm-hmm. in our narratives, in how we connect with each other. There's a tremendous lack of self-awareness and a tremendous amount of accidental hypocrisy, mm-hmm. right? I think when you say someone is hypocritical, it's like you're firing something at somebody. Mm-hmm. I think you can be ignorantly hypocritical. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I sit behind this mic and go, does nobody else see that?
Right.
Is that just me?
Right.
which doesn't make me any better or worse than anybody else, but it's just, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. So you've asked the question here, Pastor Jeff, of how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Do you have any answers? How do we practice a more self-awareness?
I don't want to be dismissive about the idea of counseling, whether it's a spiritual counselor or it's talking to somebody that can maybe give us an outside perspective of who we are. I think that requires a person to be able to hear the hard truth. I mean, there's things that have been shared with me in those environments I didn't want to hear, but once I did, it helped me to be able to make that change. There are great resources out there that I tend to dive into that help me understand how I'm hardwired. But I think whether it's talking to someone physically or looking into some of those resources, people I've engaged with in the leadership world ask about things like Strength Finder or Enneagrams and things that just give us a foundation of how we relate to the world around us. I think those are starting points, and I think the further you get down that rabbit trail, it opens up opportunities to be able to relate in better ways to those challenges that we're all facing.
Well, maybe we can close on this, Pastor. There was a guy by the name of Dan McAdams. I guess he's out of Northwestern, mm-hmm. University. And he says that some stories are better than others. Stories that are closer to what really happened, mm-hmm. are more reliable than ones that are distorted by self-flattery and self-affirmation. I think you could scale that,
sure.
interest from an individual to the systems that we're, yeah. seeing in our institutions. On the other hand, and here's the tension, we want our stories to be positive and affirming. Americans, McAdams has found, tend to tell redemption stories. I was rising, I faltered, I came back better. And I'll tell you, Pastor Jeff, this is odd for me, because there are so many tools today with which you can reassert your brand. You can tell the story you want told. You can change the story to share in a different way with somebody else. And that's dangerous, because I think after a while you can lose touch with the fact that sometimes you faltered and you didn't come back better because you weren't self-aware enough to do that.
And that's
the reality. And that scares the heck out of me, right? Because,
sure.
I'm an American like everybody else. I like the redemption story. I can rise, I can falter, I can come back better. But it's not an automatic story.
No.
And it requires being willing to be self-aware enough to realize, no, I've been screwing things up for 3 months, and here's why, and here's how to...
How do I stop it?
Yeah. So...
best practice, you know, I think what you're saying is the best practice, people who do see those redemptive stories come to fruition are the ones that take that falter, that failure, look at it, and then go back at it again. Mm-hmm. But they've learned something from the first time.
Mm-hmm. So, well, at least we can hope coming out of this that we can all be self-aware enough to realize that we are often not self-aware enough. Maybe that's is that the lesson Pastor Jeff walks in Hope City Church?
I might have read that on the fortune cookie I got from the Chinese restaurant this morning.
If not, it should be in one. We're over time, and not surprisingly, and this is an interesting topic, we're with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. A few moments monthly, we get to sit down with Pastor Jeff, Hope City Church, to try to make sense of a weird, weird world. And bring some reference points, bring some thoughtfulness back to the insanity and the malaise that I think we often find ourselves in. I know that's true for me, and it might be an American experience at the moment. Let's come back after a short break, part two of this conversation. After that, bottom of the hour, my thoughts on how do we really get through COVID? What is the pragmatic reality at this point? And then we'll talk immigration in Congress, immigration on the border with nationally syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. That and more ahead on this Drive Time Hour, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. We'll be right back.
Place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030, The Voice.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at Mass Mutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning again to you. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser is what you're listening to right now on AM 1030 KVY The Voice, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church on the 22nd Street Corridor right here in Tucson, helping us make sense of an often senseless world, wisdom for weird times. We appreciate you for doing that. Pastor Jeff, we talked about a self-awareness, a mirage in the first segment. That was interesting. You were telling me about the pizza-paved path to the far side of the COVID pandemic this week as well. And great words.
What sounds like a mouthful.
Pun intended?
Very much intended.
Okay, got it.
lovers of pizza.
I couldn't tell from the from the delivery. It reminded me of our conversation last week where you were talking about running a marathon, except when you got tired halfway through it, you ran to McDonald's.
I did.
So let's talk about the pizza paved path to the far side of the COVID pandemic. What the heck does that mean?
I'm seeing food themes here. You know, the idea of this article, and it was written by Frank Bruni in the New York Times, was the tension, the ever-growing tension, of trying to figure out how to get through. I mean, people are like, can we just get this behind us? I was at a place yesterday, and he said, maybe one day we won't have to wear these masks, and one can hope, right? But the idea behind the article is how do we navigate this idea of the pandemic? And he was actually talking about pizza as that vehicle, because there was a restaurant that said, look, I'm just trying to do business. I don't want to repeat 2020. I've got to figure out how I'm going to provide for my family. And forced with the idea, the business owner said, I'm going to require vaccinations to be able to sit and eat in this restaurant.
For workers and for patrons.
For both. And that was met with people who lit up the phone with hate speech, but it was also met with people that just said thank you. And so you got both sides there, even in that attempt towards a solution. And the author of the article was saying, I'm just looking for a way through, and it seems like it's simple. If everybody would just accept the vaccination, we could get through it. And thank you for the pizza store that chose to make the decision. And as we're talking this morning, that's one person's perspective, you know, recognizing that from our listeners, there are other perspectives in how to get through this. And the answer is not easy.
Right. Yeah, and I might get heat for this a little bit. And some of what we talk about in this segment, I'll talk a little bit about in a slightly different way in the next segment, Pastor Jeff. But look, Pizzeria Mercato, a much-loved Italian restaurant, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Look, the reality, Pastor Jeff, is that there are some restaurants who are going to go down this route.
Right.
And two blocks up the street, there's a pizza place that's going to go the exactly opposite direction.
Correct.
And I think we've done a poor job in this country the last year and a half of, I'm just going to call it like it is out of love, especially conservatives who for years in many different ways protested. And I agree with this about, in some ways, about the rights of private businesses to make their private market business decisions. That is a right, I think, that is protected to a large degree in this country until it came to pandemic response.
Right.
And instead of making the personal free market choice to go to the one two blocks up, we spend our time trying to get this pizzeria closed down, a small business that decided to go a different direction. That concerns me in this country. I think businesses have the right to make those decisions individually. But here's what I wanted to ask you about in the time that we have. You are a pastor of a church. We know that wound throughout vaccine hesitancy. Mm-hmm. Comes often from either religious concerns or from firmly held beliefs about medical freedom and personal freedom. How do you navigate congregations that have that diversity and who probably will not become vaccinated? Mm-hmm. We know that's true in Arizona. The needle's not moving. Those who have decided to get it are going to get it.
They've gotten it.
Those who don't want to get it, the needle hasn't moved in 6 months in Arizona. So we have this growing thing where people are not going to change, right? They're not going to say, well, my favorite pizza place is requiring a vaccination, and I'm going to get a vaccination. Not going to happen.
Right.
How do you navigate those conversations with your congregation as this new world is kind of developing? Whether we like it or not, it's happening.
And there aren't easy answers. Asking a lot of questions. I mean, with you're mentioning a microcosm of the community within the business sector. It's also within the religious community. There are churches that require certain things for those that attend, and there are churches that give people the option, churches that try and walk the middle of that road. And so I think people are trying to do the best with what they've been given, understanding no one's been here before. Both sides can sling mud at each other and say, if you would only do this, we'd be out of here, out of this situation. I don't know that that helps us as a whole to place blame on someone else, but I think to be able to have the conversations. There are late adopters that don't know what to do with this. And it's, can we dig into this further? Is the question a political question? Is it a social question? Is it a safety question? What are the questions? What are the reservations? And maybe not necessarily to drag somebody towards a point of view, but to help them better understand and discern why they're making the decisions they're making, and creating an awareness that leads towards a solution. I think this is still early, and I've heard from wise people truly on both sides, and I know that's probably hard for our listeners to understand, but people whose opinions I would respect from both sides. And it's a difficult place to be in as a country, as in the world, with facing the pandemic.
Any final thoughts, Pastor, on what is the role of faith leaders in, again, this tension of sometimes religiously held concerns about the vaccine, and more companies and organizations starting to toy with requirements around it? What is the role of a faith leader in this scared new world? I won't call it a brave new world.
Well, in trying to focus that thought, I mean, the role of the faith leader is to help people deepen that relationship with their creator, with God. And so, you know, when we're talking about this particular issue, I think that churches should have the conversations. I don't think that they should shy away from those hard conversations, whatever those conversations are. But in the religious aspect, you know, people are asking questions like, is this end times? Is this, you know, the phrase, the mark of the beast? For some people listening, it's like, what in the world does that mean? And that's a separate conversation. But there's this idea that certain things as events unfold lead towards this thing that in the Christian world, people may or may not want to see happen. This word prophecy, things that are yet to unfold. And so those are the kinds of conversations that are coming up in the world of the local church. People get afraid of that. We shouldn't be afraid of that. The more of a relationship a person has with their creator, there should be a calm and a sense of peace. And we don't see that peace in the world, and we probably don't see that peace in the church in the way that we should either. And I think that's concerning to me.
We've opened up a can of worms that we can't fully unpack in a minute. But we talked about this before. Maybe this is a future conversation. You know, 95% of evangelical pastors, right, the demographic of the Christian faith that is the least vaccinated, have said they have or they will likely get the vaccine. But the congregations do not match that. And this is not just about the church. I feel this way about certain things in politics. We have leaders doing things privately that do not roll over into how they guide their congregations or communities of interest.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
A second can of worms that we're not going to have a chance to unwrap. Should we just tease our listeners? We might get to that later.
Yeah, let's do
All
that.
Right, let's do that.
Let's create a parking lot for the next month conversations.
Exactly. Where can people find you and Hope City Church as we close out here?
Yeah, hopecitychurchtucson.com is our website.
Pastor Jeff Loxton is with us, our faith and culture contributor. When we come back, I'm going to continue talking COVID for a few moments, a realistic approach to what the future looks like of COVID-19 in our local community and here in Arizona. Ruben Navarrete talks immigration, nationally syndicated columnist on the other side of that. Lots more to go here on Tipping Point, AM 1030 KVY. The Voice will return in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we are back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point with Zach Genser. If you're just joining us here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. We just said goodbye to Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor. We went down some rabbit holes, which I thought was a lot of fun. And he and I, during the break, were drafting an outline for future shows because we stepped on some potential landmines that are worth that are worth talking about in more detail. That's what I love this forum for. We get to have the conversation, try to tell hard truths, talk about hard things for the right reasons, told well. For love of community. I think that's it's helpful, it's fun, it's worthwhile. And we started going down the rabbit hole, and I'm not going to land here because there's something else that I want to talk about before we welcome in Ruben Navarrete to talk about immigration nationally. I'm seeing a crisis of leadership that is really concerning. And, you know, it falls along the lines of people who in this moment are, for example, I'll give you two examples, who are getting the COVID vaccine and then publicly and on the stump telling people it's a bad idea, or talking about how, you know, it is this or that around medical freedom or personal freedom or American rights. Another example is we're seeing, you know, more and more information as court proceedings happening. We're getting more text messages, more emails from people high up in power and authority and in leadership of this country, who knew between November and January that there was not enough fraudulent in the 2020 election to shift the race from one candidate to another, who knew this, who saw the data, who had the teams, who were on their side saying there's nothing here that was big enough to shift anything, who knew this before you and I knew this. And yet have spent the last 8 or 9 months saying differently in public. And look, this is America. We get to hold different views. What I don't like is when people with the truth don't tell the truth publicly because it is politically expedient. That is a crisis of leadership. And I could count probably 4 or 5 ways where our leadership, R&D in this country, probably locally, it's really a leadership thing, says something publicly that does not reflect what they are doing privately. And that's no longer good enough, and that's disappointing. And what makes me sad is that these are people who have the power to carry entire states and nations and bases and partisan and political people with them. And this is what I keep saying, is we are living in a Jerry Springer world that is completely detached from the real world. And there is a real world that smart people know about, but they twist the story to fit a narrative. And you and I broadly, maybe not me, maybe not you listening specifically, but you and me collectively, in quotes, the broader community, we are eating it out of a bowl with a spoon, and it's time to wake up. So Pastor Jeff and I might get to that. It's a crisis of leadership. If you're watching the news, it's scary to see what you're watching, and it's scary that we give people like that power to do that. That's our choice. Okay, love y'all. I wanted to talk about what is the realistic way that we move to and through COVID. I'm not even going to say anymore get over COVID. I mean, that will eventually happen. But we have a transition from pandemic to endemic. And then we have this whole thing of figuring out what does that endemic lifestyle look like with COVID-19. That's not new revelation to anybody. I want to tie two stories together and try to make sense of this here in about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to go chat with Ruben Navarrete. But there was a poll, I don't know if you saw this, about an hour ago, Capital Media Services. It is in the Daily Star this morning. A new poll is suggesting that the number of people who have gotten the vaccine is set, and the number of people, the percentage of those who want to remain unvaccinated in Arizona, really has not changed in the last 6 months. This is the seeming summary of the state's own vaccination numbers. And I think that number ticked up a little bit. We definitely saw that nationally. I think I would say, without the numbers in front of me, it ticked up a little bit during Delta. We saw that there were some folks who were still on the sidelines of getting their vaccine, for whom the last 2 months was kind of that, okay, I think vaccines are safe enough. I want to get it. I don't want to keep doing this anymore. Whatever the personal decision was, there were some folks who came over who were more kind of in the middle. They weren't anti-vaccine, but they weren't ready to jump and get it when they could. They've gotten off those sidelines a little bit. But by and large, OH Predictive Insights is looking at the state, looking at the numbers, and says, look, if you have wanted to get vaccinated, you've done it by now. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, you're going to likely remain unvaccinated. Those numbers have not changed in the last 6 months. That's a pretty darn large sample size of time. 6 months. There was a piece in the New York Times, Where Are the Tests? Talking about how America is frustratingly slow when it comes to the bureaucratic process and the disbursement, the quick disbursement, the scaling of availability of COVID-19 tests, rapid tests. In Britain, France, and Germany, rapid testing is widely available and expensive. You can figure it out in 15 minutes. There's plenty of tests you can take at home. And people are figuring out, look, if you want to come and visit my grandmother who has Parkinson's, you know, there's COVID-19 tests outside the door. Take one. Set your timer for 15 minutes. Knock on the door when you're done. You want to come to this bar mitzvah? You want to come to this birthday party? Don't necessarily care whether you are vaccinated or not, I want you to take a test. I agree with the really smart dude I've been following on this national platform, who says, look, testing is the way forward. We have the technology where 98% of the time, if you have something COVID in you, the tests will catch it. It is time to make these tests faster, easier, more accessible, and maybe more than this vaccination argument, which I told you the first story to say, I think we're at that point, again, where if you wanted it, you got it. If you don't want it, you're not getting it. That's the pragmatic reality, right? You can only push, pull, tug, force so many people to do so many things for so long before you look the data square in the face and say, we're at where we're at, right? And I'm not giving you my opinion on who's right or who's wrong. That's not important here. What's important is the pragmatic reality is this is where we are. So as we transition from pandemic to endemic, I think this testing thing is important. I think it is the way forward. And certainly, as we know, that even vaccines, that protection wears off a bit over time. You know, the reality is that testing is probably the way forward. Other developed countries have figured this out. I think we have to deal with the cards that we are dealt at some point and say this is how moving forward looks like. Matt, I want to go to our phone lines very quick here, and then we'll go to our final break and get Ruben in here. But Matt, it looks like Carl is on with a comment about this. Carl, thanks for hanging on for a minute. You're live on the air.
Yes, I think moving forward with the testing process is the best way to go. I cannot take the vaccine, and it's under doctor's orders, and I'm getting really sick and tired of all these people who are non-medical types saying, well, you need to get it, you need to get it. If you're only, you know, one of the four people in a million that has a reaction to it, and it's really dangerous to you, you're one of the four people that you need to, that I need to worry about. And I'm this split of saying that everybody's got to be vaccinated. nobody's actually looking at it, and they're not willing to hear the facts that some people should not be vaccinated.
Carl, I really appreciate... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I think your point about if anybody wants... You get tested before you go anywhere, you know, go ahead. That's the best way to do it at this point.
Yeah, Carl, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate to hear that it's making sense to somebody other than me, because that 'cause that's the key. And look, I mean, Carl, your example of you went to a doctor, your doctor said in your specific case you shouldn't get it. If a restaurant says, look, Carl, we're not going to give you a hard time, we want you to eat here, but we really like, you know, or a music venue, but we like to make sure that when you walk in that you're clear and good to go. And, you know, if you can test before you come to this big event, or you can test before you come to my party, you know, I think we've got to figure out as a community to also honor that. And some people aren't going to care. Some restaurants aren't going to care. Some people aren't going to care. And that's fine, too. But, Carl, I think you and I are on the same page that we're dealing less with the, you know, with the world that we would like to see. And I think now have to transition into the world that we have. And, Carl, I appreciate your personal story. All right, Matt, you got to get me off this soapbox. Let's go to our final break of the hour. Ruben Navarrete is on the other side. We're going to talk immigration. Lots to talk about in the last 7 or 10 days. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to join the conversation. That's how Ruben calls in just a minute. We'll see you on the other side.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
And we are back, Tucson, all of Southern Arizona here live on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Let's get our final guest of the hour in here. Lots to talk about. Ruben Navarrete is the most widely read Latino columnist in the country, syndicated Washington Post, USA Today, Daily Beast. You've seen him over the years on CNN, Fox News, and the resume goes on. Good morning to you, Ruben. How are you?
Great to be with you. Thanks.
So it's been an interesting 7 to 10 days. The Biden administration at large is being significantly challenged on numerous immigration issues. You know, I can think of two or three mainly that we could talk about today. There is the maintenance of, I think it's what, Title 42, a Trump administration border policy that the Democrats ran on. It is now being kept in place. We've seen what is happening at Del Rio. We've seen incredible instances of Border Patrol engagement with Haitian immigrants. We've seen green card policy, immigration policy trying to be pushed through via reconciliation until a parliamentarian said, yeah, that's not how it works. It's been a tough week to 10 days for the Biden administration on immigration. Certainly activists in his party are a little weirded out about what they're seeing, but they should probably have known better, yeah?
Yeah, definitely so. I think you know, people who vote in elections and tweet and post on Facebook and say, yay, yay, team, owe it to themselves to understand politics. They have to do their homework, understand how politicians work. They have to understand you know, what I preach on my podcast, Reuben in the Center, that they're really, on an issue like immigration, is no difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And the Title 42 issue is pretty much like, you know, clear, makes that clear. You have here a policy that was put in place during the pandemic as an emergency procedure that Donald Trump, the former president, used to keep out immigrants, turn them back around, and send them home without any sort of immigration hearing. And you have Joe Biden running for president saying, hey, elect me, and one of the first things I'll do is get rid of Title 42. Because that's un-American. We ought to at least give folks hearings. We don't have to take everybody, but give them a hearing. And now he's using Title 42 to get rid of the Haitians, just like he did 6 or 9 months ago, the Central Americans. I just, for the life of me, can't see the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump on immigration. You're seeing it on Twitter, on Facebook, people who said, look, I voted for him. I worked for him. I was part of the campaign. This is not why I campaigned for the guy.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there is not the border issue is out of control, and by that, yep. I don't mean to say that from a R or a D perspective. I mean that to say that there was a lot of conversation, certainly during a 2-year election period, around how policy would be different and what would be done, and it just seems like the Biden administration cannot get a policy handle on what to do or what to change. And this just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, this is my objective view on it, and I'm not trying to politicize the issue at all. In fact, Reuben, I ask you what's on your mind. I don't drive these conversations as much as I pick your brain on this weekly of what are you watching, what are you seeing.
Right.
But it is hard to imagine that the administration could have this little control over the policy direction of the U.S. border with Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not of the opinion that we have an open border in Mexico, or the U.S.-Mexico border is open.
Right.
Republicans who say that and repeat that show how ignorant they are, just like Democrats who think that somehow Biden is an improvement on Trump are showing me how ignorant they are. I have ignorance on the left and on the right. But the folks on the right who say we have an open border, you know what? In an open border situation, we don't have Border Patrol agents on horseback using the reins of the horse to essentially whip and strike back at Haitian mothers carrying babies. In an open border situation, guys, you idiots in the GOP, those Border Patrol agents are back in headquarters, air-conditioned, drinking coffee, watching on the monitors as people come on in, and they're waving to them as they go by. The very fact that you have an enforcement mechanism on the border, however imperfect, disproves this ridiculous, absurd argument that we have an open border. We do have a problem with border security. We don't have a secure border, but certainly not open. And that's an overstatement on the part of the right. But nobody likes these images. And these images are, we can drop them not at the feet of Donald Trump anymore. These are Joe Biden's Border Patrol agents acting in this very abusive and inappropriate way on our dime. I just, you know, Zach, I tell you what. Yeah, I work hard. I pay my taxes. I work 7 days a week. And it just really warms my heart that I'm going to be paying for the pension of that guy on that horse. That one day when he retires after he's brutalized this Haitian mother with her baby, that he'll be able to chalk up his green fees when he plays golf on me. Because he's going to get a nice government pension for his good work on the job. That is galling to me, whether a Democrat is in the White House or a Republican. It makes no difference. We have a failed border policy.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about this on the air before. I think both sides have hyperbolicized, have used
hyperbolic statements, yeah.
There we go. I don't think I actually used a real word there, but maybe we'll make it so. Have made the border situation so hyperbolic, so detached from reality, that for decades now, everybody says they're interested in solving the border issue, but nobody really is, and nobody is putting forth any real policy to do so. Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, is planning a days, not weeks or months long investigation into those videos that we are seeing. The Biden administration yesterday said they're planning to deport back to Haiti within the next 10 days or so. I think you reported this, Ruben, the estimated 10,000 or so immigrants who remain under the bridge in Del Rio. These pictures are sad and frustrating and should not be this way in the United States of America. But, you know, we could spend another 5 minutes pointing to where both parties in America have fallen short. But what do we do to change course on this? What does, in this case, because they're in power right now, what should the Biden administration be doing to bring a policy change that they've said they wanted but can't seem to make happen on the border?
It's a good question. A few things they should do immediately. Stop contradicting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're killing yourself politically to use some of the same Donald Trump measures that you campaigned against. We can Google. We know how to Google. We'll find out that you're lying. We'll find out that you're trying to hoodwink us. Secondly, explain the haphazard, you know, nature of who we decide is going to come into this country. Zach, you know, just in the last 6 months, here's what we've heard. In the last 6 to 9 months, we've heard Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, say to the Cubans, do not come. Say to the Afghans, please come. Say to the Haitians, do not come. Say to the Central Americans, please come. This is one guy. You know, I track these people for a living. If you track one guy, the Homeland Security Secretary, and he's telling one group of refugees, don't come, and the other, I'm not saying we have to treat them all equally, but we need an explanation. Explain to us the differences between these four groups and why you treat them differently, one from the other. Third and final, Kamala Harris. This was a mistake. It was a mistake to put her in charge of the border crisis. Now we have a new issue. We still have a border crisis. Now it's Haitians instead of Central Americans. Is she going to get on a plane and go to Haiti the way she went to Guatemala and tell people not to come? I mean, she was always the wrong choice. And so I guess what I'm saying, Zach, is the rule in politics is like the rule in medicine. First, do no harm. Before we can get to the solution, first, do no harm. And these are three instances where, through flip-flopping, inconsistency, and choosing the wrong people, the Biden administration has done itself great harm on immigration.
Ruben, I've got you for a few more minutes. I want to ask you this question. The Trump administration put in place a public health law, rarely used, but it's there, Title 42, it is a opportunity to it's a public health order from the CDC to expel migrants crossing the border without giving them a chance to apply for asylum. President Biden is fighting in court to keep Title 42 in policy place. 60 seconds, Ruben Navarrete. Does this validate President Trump's border policy during his administration on Title 42?
I'm on the convenience side of things. If you can put up this pretense that you're keeping people out for health reasons during a pandemic and the pandemic continues, you have an easy out. The one thing I'll give Joe Biden credit for, he saw a patient with a bullet wound, and unlike Donald Trump, he didn't just put a Band-Aid on the bullet wound. He actually pulled the Band-Aid off. Now we're bleeding out, okay? But it was never a solution to tell people, stay in Mexico, or we're going to deport you under Title 42, willy-nilly. This was never a solution, but things were calmer during President Trump because he kept everything south of the border, and now Joe Biden has ended that policy, and now everything is coming north of the border. So, you know, six one way, half dozen another. Neither of these two men did a very good job on immigration.
30 seconds, Ruben. People can search your name, Ruben Navarrete, and find your recent piece and can find you on the internet, correct?
Yep. Yep, all right. Daily Beast. I have a new piece out on this issue. You bet.
Ruben Navarrete, thank you as always. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for debriefing immigration in America in 10 minutes. That's why we do it with you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks.
The director of housing for the state of Arizona is my guest tomorrow on the show. We will see you there, Tucson. Take care. Hugh Hewitt up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. Take care, Tucson.